bless your glorious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is the only way to worship Him. The only way to dedicate your life is with everything. Everything. While you're yet standing, I want to direct your attention to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Chapter 21, I'll just read a couple of verses, but let me give you quick background of these verses. David, the king of Israel, took an action at one point that displeased the Lord, and it brought about some very dire consequences, not just for himself, but for God's people. And to atone for it, David was instructed to offer a sacrifice, to build an altar in a particular place. It was a threshing floor of a man named Ornan. And here, these two verses that I'll read to you from 1 Chronicles 21, verse 22, is the exchange David had with Ornan. Verse 21, "Then David said to Ornan, 'Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people.' But Ornan said to David, 'Take it to yourself, and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all.'" Today is dedication day. Specifically, it was for the Elkins family, but spiritually today, every one of us have the opportunity to dedicate ourselves to Jesus Christ. And that's my simple message today. It's dedication day. And I wish you would, if you're willing, just to lift your hands. The universal sign of surrender is to lift your hands. And I know that's not the greatest context in a battle, but in a relationship with God, it's a good thing. Would you lift your hands in surrender to Him and just ask Him to talk to your heart from His Word today? Lord, I appreciate so much your presence that floods this house. Thank you for loving us, choosing us, setting us apart, and help us to respond accordingly with all that we have. All of our worship, all of our lives devoted to you. Talk to our hearts through your word today. Let us be strengthened and helped, O God. Draw nearer to you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. And would you offer some more wholehearted worship to Jesus now before you're seated? Lord, we honor you. We honor you. And thank you from our hearts. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, and you may be seated. Dedication is important in nearly every aspect of life, every worthwhile endeavor. Think for a moment of your family. If you're going to have a close-knit and strong, established family, it's going to take dedicated spouses, one to another. It's going to require dedicated parents to a child or children that God may bless you with. In the workplace, businesses of all types thrive upon dedicated men and women who own a business or who are the employees of it. A person's career advances, his or her skills develop, knowledge broadens based upon a level of dedication. Even with hobbies, might not be something you've thought about, but if you're going to be a good hobby person, it takes some dedication, doesn't it? You have to put together a first-class collection and learn all the information that requires dedication. I admit, I'm lazy. If I'm interested, I know several of you that have hobbies. I just go ask you, and I don't have to do the homework, right? But it really does require dedication. And certainly, when it comes to our walk with God, dedication is very, very important. In fact, we have to have it. And the Bible is clear about this. It's not something that you, quote-unquote, discover in fine print after you've said yes to the Lord. But the Bible is very upfront about what's required. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then a little later, he amplified what he meant when he was talking to the disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Jesus explained to them, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Verse 38, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And once more, Jesus was talking to a wealthy young man in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, and he said this, if you want to be perfect, if you want to be complete, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now that was specific to that young man, very wealthy, God knew what it required, but the point is very clear from what Jesus told his disciples all the way to what he told this rich young man, if you want to follow me, it takes everything. If you want to follow me, you have to be wholly dedicated. The only way to experience true success with God is through your dedication. You have to work at it. You have to persevere. You have to devote yourself to God, set yourself apart. You've got to be committed for the long term. If you're going to have a successful walk with God, you've got to be committed for the long term. Otherwise, you're not going to last. You're not going to survive spiritually. Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, told a parable of a sower going out and sowing seed on the ground. And in verse 5, he mentioned specifically that some of that seed fell on stony ground, where it didn't have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And a little later in this chapter, Jesus explained to his disciples what he was talking about. Verse 16, he said, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And then verse 17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So digging deep in dedication is critical to spiritual success. It's not rocket science, church. It's not rocket science, guests. If you want a relationship with God, you've got to give it all. You've got to surrender everything. That's how you'll be a success. And so I want us to examine just how we can go about dedicating ourselves. And first of all, we need to dedicate with understanding. We need to know what it entails. It's important to understand what dedication to God means. God has a plan for all of our lives. He really does. It begins with his desire for all of us to be saved, but then I'm convinced that once we say yes to him and establish our relationship with him, that he has places in his kingdom and ways in which he wants to use us. But the important thing for us to note for today is that God wants to transform us, not just reform. You know, serving God is more than just breaking a few bad habits, isn't it? It's more than just, you know, taking on a few resolutions at the first of a year. It's more than just saying, I'm going to be a better person. But it's transformation. God wants to get within us and completely turn us around and make us a new creation. I heard Bill Gothard once say this, that you could sum up God's purpose for every one of us in this succinct sentence. God wants us to be Christ-like and live for him. It would take you a little while to chew on that and get all the meat out of it, but that's really what God wants for all of us. He wants us to be Christ-like and to live for him. In Romans 8:29, in fact, George and I were talking about this last week, it says that whom God foreknew, he also predestinated. Now, that doesn't mean that we're saved once and always saved. It doesn't mean that we have no choice about this, but what it's saying is God knows that there's going to be a church. He's got that in mind, and his goal for every member of that church is that we would, the rest of the verse says, be conformed to the image of his son. Whether you and I are in that church is up to our saying yes or no, but everybody in it, that's what God wants. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. That's his plan. But we have to understand that fulfilling that plan of God changing us into his image requires dedication on our part. We've got to surrender. We've got to say yes. We've got to submit ourselves to his will and do that constantly. I heard David Gray preach a message years and years ago. He pastored in San Diego, did a great work. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. But it really captured my attention. I was early adulthood, and he preached that each of us, and this is especially true if you are someone who's grown up in the church, that at every major crossroad or season of life, we have to find an altar all over again. If you were saved as a child, when you get into your mid to late teens, you got to get back to another altar because you're a different person. In early adulthood, midlife, even in your senior years, at every phase of life, wherever you came to walk with Him, as you enter these phases, and there's no set time, it's different for all of us, but you have to keep coming back to the altar. You can't just shrug your shoulders and say, well, I got that behind me. No, it's a process. You've got to continually submit, continually offer yourself, and be consecrated to His purpose fully. And it is a tall order for this reason. Our carnal mind, or I'll say it this way, our human reasoning is at odds with God. I also heard Bill Gothard say this once, if you want to know God's will for your life, ask yourself what you would do and then do the opposite. Because that's how we're wired. We're at odds with God's ways. You know why children are taught to do right? Because doing what's wrong comes naturally. Do you know why that we have to teach them to be selfless? Because being selfish comes naturally. It's just part of our human makeup. So yielding to God calls for dedication at all seasons of our lives. It's not a one-time event, not a one-time experience, but it's a process that we must undergo. You know, a baby, when it's dedicated to God, doesn't understand what's happening. I'm told I was dedicated to God as an infant, but I don't have any memory of it. I got a picture of Harry Branding praying for me as my parents held me. So I know it happened, but I don't recall it. And certainly if I did, I would have not had any understanding of what was going on. And I've thought about, imagine what a baby's thinking at dedication. You know, what's going on around the house? It seems different today. Mom and Dad seem excited, and these aren't my regular clothes they're putting on me. And why are we standing up there in front of everyone? And what's this gooey stuff that man's putting on my head? And what's he saying over me? And, you know, they don't understand it. They don't get it. But thankfully, of course, it's good for parents to dedicate. Don't misunderstand, because they are acknowledging God as the giver of life and that they want to include Him in their family. So it's important to do, but I'm just saying the infant doesn't understand it. And at some point, we've got to personally dedicate ourselves to God with understanding. We've got to know what we are doing. We've got to make the conscious choice to surrender ourselves to God. When Ornan was asked by David to sell his threshing floor, he volunteered. He said, yeah, I'll give it to you, but I'll also give you threshing instruments and wheat and the oxen. He knew it meant giving everything. He understood the cost, but he was willing to give it nonetheless. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done, he knew full well what that meant. It was going to cost him his life. So he dedicated with understanding, and we've got to do likewise, dedicate ourselves with the knowledge of what it entails, what it means. And then we also have to dedicate ourselves without unreasonable delay. It's good to understand what's required before you dedicate your life to something, isn't it? If you're going to sign a contract, I strongly recommend you count the cost first. If you're going to consider a course requirement for your education, I strongly encourage you to think about what it's going to mean in terms of your time and your money. If you're going to contemplate the long-term commitment of marriage before you say I do, you better think about it long and hard. Boy, but you're ever, right? No, I'm kidding. 40 wonderful years this summer I mark with that lovely lady over there, Melody. Let's give her a hand. She's so beautiful. But in all seriousness, you need to think about it. In God's eyes, marriage is a lifelong commitment. And you need to think about it. Yet some people, I will say this, they count, they consider, they contemplate so long that they might miss their opportunity for whatever it is. So there's no need to delay when it comes to dedicating to God. We ought to understand what we're doing, but don't delay it, because there's no quote-unquote better deal than giving your life to Jesus Christ. There's no better way for you to spend your days on this earth than to live for Jesus Christ. There was a time when Simon Peter, this is in Luke 18, verse 28, Simon Peter said to Jesus, see, I can just imagine him kind of having a smug look on his face, see, we've left all and followed you. Now, what isn't said there, reading between the lines, Simon Peter was saying, excuse me, Jesus, I've left everything to follow you. What's in it for me? That's really what he was asking. You know, we've surrendered everything, dedicated everything. I left my fishing business. What's in it for me? And know what Jesus said to him. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So dedication costs us something, but every sacrifice is worth it. Every sacrifice is worth it. Think about it. We give up sin for salvation. That's enough right there. We give up our filthy rags, as the Bible calls them, for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We give away our old life for a new life. I'm telling you, there's no better deal. Dedication to God opens a whole new world for us. It makes us a new creation. Both here, it's wonderful, and there. Here we become a new creation with life, and that more abundantly. We have peace that passes understanding. We experience a joy that's unspeakable, and we discover pleasures forevermore. Now, that doesn't mean we never have a problem, but I'm just telling you, when you know Jesus Christ, living life doesn't get any better. Even with difficulties, even with problems, because you know who to turn to in those times. You know who will sustain you and go with you. So it's a whole new world when you choose to serve Jesus Christ. It is transformation and not reformation. Jesus Christ turns your life around. But then he also said there's life everlasting that awaits the believer. It's there for us. The future, I'll just say it this way, is bright for every believer. Now, I know come Monday morning we may not feel like things are so bright, but it really is. It really is. If you know Jesus Christ, you've got a future that's bright. You've got something to count on. You've got a reason to get up every morning. Your life is filled with meaning and purpose and significance, all because you know Jesus Christ. All because you have a relationship with him. And Simon Peter later wrote, this one to whom Jesus was speaking here in Luke, he later wrote that we have an inheritance. He said it's incorruptible, undefiled, it fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So I'm telling you, there's no better deal than to dedicate your life to Jesus Christ. So don't delay it. Don't delay it, because it's worth it now, and it's going to be worth it forever. And then we also have to dedicate ourselves completely. Now, here I've got to go in a little sensitive direction. And not everybody may understand this, but if necessary, when Pastor Williford gets back, he can straighten things out for us. But I've got to talk to you about the fundamental problem with the hokey pokey. Now, some of our younger people may not know what that is, but there's a little song out there, and I didn't bother to Google it and find out. Don't worry, we're not going to sing it, but I heard you over there. I didn't bother to Google it and find its origin, what it's all about, but there's several verses, something like you put your right hand in, and take your right hand out, and then I think you put your right hand in and shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey, whatever that is. Turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Dum dum. And there's right foot, left foot, all that kind of stuff. But if you'll notice in that song, nothing seems to get settled. Nothing seems to get resolved or enduring. And unfortunately, there is a spiritual version of the hokey pokey. There are people that will say, you know, I like this apostolic church. I like this Bible-based message. I think I'll put my right hand in. And then something happens, I don't know, trouble, persecution, things didn't go as smoothly as you might have thought. And so they take their right hand out. It's as Jesus explained here when he was talking about that stony ground, there's no deep commitment. There's no endurance. When trouble comes, we wither away because we lack a root system of dedication. Digging down deep. And later that person might come back and start feeling better about things, and they'll say, you know, I like this apostolic truth. I think I'll put my right foot in. But then they take their right foot out. Or maybe the church will have a revival, a special meeting, or a particular message will really reach them, and it seems like they finally got it, and they said, I'll put my whole self in. But then they take their whole self out. The fact of the matter is, the only way to truly turn yourself around is to get your whole self in and stay in. That's the key to serving Jesus Christ. That's the key to living for him successfully. You got to dedicate yourself wholly unto him. Complete dedication is what will allow you to conform to his image, just as Jesus did with his disciples. When Jesus chose particularly those 12 disciples, we call them the apostles, it's significant that those men stayed with him. Now, they weren't perfect. He was all the time correcting and scolding and trying to get them into that image. That's why it's a process. He was trying to form and direct them. But you got to hand it to them. They remained. They stayed with it. In fact, in John chapter 6, there was a point where many of the so-called disciples started leaving Jesus in droves. They didn't want to pay the cost. Jesus started talking about a real deep commitment, and I'm not in it for that. And they just started leaving, and Jesus point blank asked the 12 apostles, "Are you going to leave me, guys? Is this it? You're going to walk out on me?" And it was their response that we're staying, Jesus. And in fact, Simon Peter kind of spoke for the group. He said, "We don't have any other options. There's no place for us to go. We're here. We're giving our whole selves." They continued with him. It's said that during his military campaigns that Julius Caesar, when he would take his army across a river or a sea to an alien land to conquer it, that he would order the boats that brought them to be burned. So the message to the soldiers was clear: victory's the only option. We're either going to conquer this territory or we're going to die right here, because I've arranged, there's no way back. There's no way back. And that's dedication. We can't allow ourselves a back door of escape. The 12 apostles didn't leave themselves an option of going back. They said, "We've given all to follow you, Jesus, and we have to do the same." No contingency in the contract. You know, some people, and I'm using a figure of speech, you know, they want to sign that contract with the Lord and say, "But down here in the fine print, if this happens or if that doesn't happen, or, you know, if I'm not blessed financially, you know, I'm gone." No contingencies. I give all. I surrender all. I dedicate everything. We've got to actually remove the words surrender and retreat from our vocabulary. You know, I found that to be so significant. In fact, our couples that Brother Wilford has me talk to, our couples that are to be married, and I try to tell them, you got to realize God's view of marriage is it's lifelong, and you've got to be dedicated. I think that sometimes a couple will go into marriage with the idea that if this doesn't work, we can get out of it. That's the mindset out there. We can get out of it. But you've got to come into your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is it. I'm in it. And I don't know everything that's going to happen. I don't know what paths I'm going to follow. But I know this. I am in it. You've got to love God, the Bible says, with all. Would you humor me and say all out loud? All. Not some, not a portion, not once in a while. But love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your spirit. That means dedication 7 days a week. 168 hours in the week, and very few of them, maybe 6 to 8, are spent here. So it means that we've got to devote our whole life, consecrate all of ourselves. Today we dedicated Avery Kate, and that act of dedication speaks volumes of her parents, as I noted. But there's going to come a day when she's going to have to dedicate herself. There's going to come a day when she'll have to make the choice. And maybe there are some here today like me who were dedicated or even baptized as an infant, and you don't have any memory of it. For me, the time came when I had to choose if I was going to serve God. My parents, I love them for it. They dedicated me, and they're unable to be here today. They're in their mid-90s and kind of reached a point where they can't get out like they were even on Sunday mornings. And I regret that, but that they did everything they needed to do. But at some point, Nathan had to decide. At some point, I had to choose. Am I going to live for God? I can't just live for him because mom and dad did. Or my grandmother Crowder up in South Bend, Indiana did. I've got to make the choice myself. So whether you are dedicated as a child or not, all of us must dedicate ourselves. If we're going to be saved, it's because we called on the Lord. We made the choice to repent. We made the choice to get in a baptismal tank and be buried in Jesus' name for the remission of our sins. We made the choice to wholeheartedly accept the gift of God's Spirit into our lives. We've got to do that. If godly parents, I'm sure I speak for them today, if godly parents could stand in proxy for their children when it comes to salvation, they would. I know good and well, my girls, when they were small, if I could have repented for them, I would have. If I could have been baptized for them, I would have. If I could have received the Spirit for them, I would have, because I want them saved. But I couldn't. They had to decide. I could point, I could direct, I could talk, but they had to decide for themselves. And so it is. No one can get saved for you. Salvation is not by proxy. Somebody else can't substitute. You've got to make the choice. You've got to decide whether or not you're going to dedicate yourself to him. And so today is dedication day. I know on the schedule it was for one family and one child, but it's for every one of us in the spiritual realm. And we're asked to dedicate ourselves with understanding. No one's trying to trick or deceive. We need to know what this is about. And let me just say, if you're here and don't have all your questions answered, we'd love to connect with you. We've got ways that we can teach Bible studies at time and place of your convenience. And we'd love to answer questions. You're going to have to decide for yourself, but we can help guide you through the Word of God, because none of this that we're preaching today is what we've made up. We don't have some kind of man-made policy. This is it right here. This is what we go by. And if we can help you study that, we're more than welcome. We've got to dedicate ourselves with understanding. And please do it without delay. Please do it without delay. I know that this is a little more low-key today, and I'm not standing on the chair and screaming, and you don't feel the flames of hell lapping about you. But today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I promise you, this is the opportunity. This is the moment to dedicate all yourself to Jesus Christ. And you've got to, of course, do it completely. There was a young woman named Ruth. She was from Moab, a neighboring country of Israel in the Old Testament. A family from Israel had moved there because of famine. And Elimelech, his wife, Naomi, their two boys. And they stayed there quite a while. The boys grew up, and Ruth married one of their sons. In the course of time, though, Elimelech died, and her husband died, and even his brother died. And Naomi decided she'd go back to Israel for the final years of her life. There was, again, now food there, and she could sustain herself. And so Ruth packed up to go with her. And Naomi stopped her and said, Ruth, think about what you're doing. You're going back to my homeland, leaving your land, going to a foreign country, leaving all your family. And you're going to come with me and look at me at my time of life. I've got no way to support you or sustain you. I've got no more sons that you could marry, which was customary in that day. You need to stay here. You need to stay here. But Ruth was so adamant. I want you to listen to her words. Entreat me. It's so not to leave you or to turn back from following you. She was, in essence, begging Naomi, please don't ask me to stay here and leave you or abandon you. She said, wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. Your people shall be my people. So she was even her citizenship giving up. And your God will be my God. That was her adamant desire and commitment to be with Naomi. And that's what it takes for us to serve Jesus Christ. I've got to stay. I'm here, Lord. I give all. And please help me to remain faithful. As we stand together, whether you've attended this church a long time or a short time, whether you're a member, whether you're a guest, whether you were dedicated or baptized as an infant, it's dedication day for us. And inviting you to pray, I'm going to ask in the spirit of this message that you would, if you can do this physically, and I understand not everyone can, but find a place to kneel in prayer today. I know that's not a requirement. We can pray pacing or standing in any kinds of ways, but I want you to just, in a symbolism of surrender and submission, to kneel. And there's room probably for 40 or so up front here if you wouldn't mind filling that up first, and then at your benches you can do that. But I want to give you, we're going to pray together in a little bit, but just a little time individually to pray, to talk to God, and to dedicate yourself all over again. Maybe you're at one of those seasons of life or turning points, and you've been thinking about, you know, which way you're going, what's going to do. I want you to come and find a place of prayer up near the front to begin, and then fill in the benches later. But just kneel for some time in His presence today. It's dedication day. It's dedication with understanding, without delay, and certainly completely today. Would you just spend these few moments? This is your private time with your Lord, talking to Him. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.